produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to my father's teachings. Before we get into the Word of God, we are going to pray. I have to tell you this, I'm thoroughly excited about this word that we're going to talk about today. But before we get into it, let's go before the Father and encase this message in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for your wisdom that will be imparted today. Thank you for the leadership of your precious Spirit. Thank you for guiding us into all truth and giving us wisdom, revelation, and understanding that is far beyond our current place of thinking. You be glorified today in the name of Jesus. Open the eyes of our understanding and help us to see through your eyes, through your divine perspective. And Jesus be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have been talking about the subject of identity, starting off from the book of Psalm number 8, where David posed the question, what is man? And so we've been pondering over that. We've been going through some things, laying some foundation, and getting a better understanding of what man is and God's perspective and how God sees man and what God's desire was and is for man to be. Now let's start off in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female he created, or created he them. Again, that's Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And so going back to verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." And that's what we're starting off with. And this is really kind of a carryover from our previous lesson. But we're looking at and evaluating the word image. Now, as we seek to understand our identity, it is important for us to understand the meaning of certain words and concepts that are found in the Word of God. Now, some concepts about identity you will only understand fully as you understand covenant. For now, I'm going to mention covenant as we talk about identity, but I will save the deep dive into covenant for a later date. Now, as a reminder, the word image means representative figure. Again, the word image means representative figure. It is someone who is acting on behalf of another. In understanding this, I want to talk about a phrase that is very popular with us as believers, but there is a possibility that you may not really understand what that phrase truly means. The phrase that I'm going to look into at this point in our lesson is "in his name." We're going to talk about what that phrase means, and we're going to look at its use in the Word of God. Now, we're going to start off in John chapter 14, Let's look at verses 12 through 14. Again, that's John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. And this is Jesus talking. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus said he will do it. Now, there is a word that I want us to focus on in verse 12. He says at the top, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." Now, belief is critical, because what Jesus says following this has this word believe at its basis. And one of the things that we need to understand regarding this, and you might want to make a note of this, that your belief, your faith enables you to operate in the earth the way Jesus did. Let me say that again. Your faith, your believing enables you to operate in the earth the way Jesus did. Well, where did I get that from? I'm glad you asked. Because Jesus told us here in verse 12 that the person who believes on Jesus, that person would do the same works as Jesus and greater works. Now, I've heard a lot of people push, and I understand their heart, and I'm not knocking this. I'm just observing. But I hear people try to define what greater is. And here's what I'm thinking about. Jesus said that we'll do what he did and greater. I haven't seen us in current day even doing what he did, let alone doing greater. So I think it's a wise idea. Let's get to what he was doing. How about us raising the dead, healing the sick, cleansing the leper, casting out demons? Let's get to that. Because it's hard to get to greater if we haven't even gotten to what he did. Because I tell you, it'll be impressive if we got to what he did. And in truth, we really wouldn't know once we've gotten to greater, because not everything that the Messiah did was recorded. In fact, the Apostle John said that if everything that they saw Jesus do had been written, he said he doesn't even know if the world can contain all the books that would have been written. So in truth, we would never really be able to know if we've gotten to greater. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be in pursuit of greater, but what I am saying is it will be an impressive thing. And when I say impressive, I'm not talking about ego. I'm talking about it will be a major event if we as the body in a major way begin to do and operate the things that Jesus did in the earth. But one of the things that is foundational in order for us to manifest the supernatural that Jesus did is for us to see ourselves through God's eyes. And what I mean by that is there is a way that God looks at us, and then there is a way that we tend to look at ourselves. And if there is a difference between how God is looking at us versus how we are looking at ourselves, then we will limit our ability to move in the supernatural, because part of our ability rests in what we believe. What we believe is foundational. And so what Jesus is hinting at here is that the believing one is operating as his representative. And as his representative, you and I are able to do what he does in the earth. I remember years ago, and people have kind of gotten away from this, but People would talk about, what would Jesus do? WWJD. And it became sort of a catchphrase, but it didn't really stick because we didn't really see ourselves being like Jesus. Because before you can get to doing like Jesus, we have to begin to see ourselves like Jesus. I understand we tend to focus so much on do, but we have not focused enough on who we are, because it's out of understanding and having a revelation of who we are that we will impact our behavior, our decisions, and we'll walk in power. It's hard to get somebody who has no idea who they are to behave as if they are what they truly are. And so we need an understanding. We need a revelation of our identity. We need a revelation of who we are in Christ. And so here, Jesus is telling us what happens when somebody gets that revelation of who they are, when they understand that there is a link between the believing person and the one they are believing in. And it is your faith, it is your belief in Christ that enables you to operate, that enables you to do the works of Christ in the earth. See, Jesus is not here in the earth. I know that's a major revelation. What I'm getting at is this. Jesus has placed believers in the earth to represent him in his physical absence. And that is why Jesus is letting the disciples know, which is being passed on to us through the word of God, that the person who believes in him would do the works that Jesus did and beyond. And he says, because I go to my Father. In other words, because I'm leaving. But I want the works to continue. I hope you see that. Jesus is letting them know, I'm leaving, but I still want the works getting done. I don't want the works to leave with me. I want the works to continue in my absence. So the only way that that will be done would be if my representatives are doing what I did before I left. Now look at verse 13. Jesus says, and whatsoever ye shall ask, and here's that phrase we talked about, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Now, the phrase in my name has to do with us representing. What do I mean by that? How do I make that connection that asking in his name has to do with you being a representative? Now, just as a little tidbit before we get into the full meaning of it or the full understanding of it. When you talk about asking in someone's name, that phrase means to ask in behalf of someone else or ask using that person's name. Sometimes we call it in the corporate world name drop, because you use the name of your boss. And then what you said now carries the weight of your boss. And it's a very similar thing, spiritually speaking, that when we're asking for something in Jesus's name, what we're doing is we're saying we're asking this in behalf of the one whose name we are using. And so Jesus said, when you do that, then he will operate. He's operating off of that. With us embracing the fact that we are to represent him in the earth and we are carrying his name. But look at this. And this speaks to purpose, because sometimes I think we tend to separate that from the heart of the Father, and people may go to an extreme. Well, I'm going to ask for, and they come up with something stupid. Because there are people who've asked for other folks' spouses and they claim that they're operating off of asking in Jesus' name, and they try to treat the phrase in Jesus' name as if it's some kind of a lucky charm or whatever. But notice how Jesus closes this statement out, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So that speaks to our motive, that I'm operating in as a representative of God when my motive is to glorify the Father. So that's why I check my motive. Because if my motive is not glorifying the Father, then I'm not representing him in that moment. Hear what I'm saying? If your motive relative to that moment is not to glorify the Father, then you're not representing God relative to that. It's not an indictment on everything you've prayed for, but it is an indictment on that particular thing. And so then Jesus says in 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, he said, I will do it. I will do it. In other words, what Jesus and what the Father, what they're looking at is this person representing me? Is this person representing God? Have they caught the revelation that they are representatives of God in the earth? And therefore, when they pray, they're praying out of a heart that is linked with heaven. Let's look at another verse. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. It says, again, I say unto you, so what Jesus is telling them, I've already said this to you before. I'm saying this to you again. Why? Because there are some things that bear repeating. And for whatever reason, Jesus saw a need to repeat this statement to them. But here we go. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. Then in verse 20, it says, for where two or three are gathered together, how? He said, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So this is a verse that is commonly used in reference to praying in agreement. And that's a good place. That's a good reference for that. So what Jesus is teaching here, that when two people come together in his name, or they're operating in his stead, they are representing him. Notice what it says at the bottom of verse 20. He said, there am I in the midst of them. Well, why am I emphasizing that? He didn't say it's like I'm there. He said, I'm there. So what Jesus is teaching us here is that if he can find two believers or three believers who are gathered together to represent him, then it's not like he's there. He's there. Why? Because where his representatives are, there he is also indeed. Let's go to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And this will probably be our last stopping place before closing out in this lesson. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. And we're very familiar with this particular account. But anyway, being the ninth hour. Verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. I'm going to pause right there. So again, like I said a moment ago, this is a passage that I believe most people, if not everybody who's listening in, has heard about this story, has heard about this account. And so we're very familiar with it, that this man was born crippled. And so here he is as an adult. He's being carried regularly, daily, to the temple. And he's basically begging for money. And so he sees Peter and John, and he does what he normally does. He's, you know, got his hand out asking for some money. And here is Peter with a revelation of the fact that he is to represent Jesus in the earth. See, understand something. This is not an accident. This is not luck. This is a man with a revelation. Peter, this man with a revelation, fastening his eyes up on the man who was lame from his mother's womb, with John said, "Look on us." And he gave heed, the Bible says, unto them. So the man looked at him, and he's expecting to receive something. Oh, he thought he was getting ready to get some money. Because think about this, how, just as a side note, people who are asking for money, they can kind of tell the ones who are about to give them something versus the ones who aren't. Because the ones who are going to give them something, sometimes they'll kind of, you know, turn away, you know, and look the other way or just look straight ahead. They won't look at the person and I think it's kind of maybe that thing of, you know, I don't really want to look eye to eye with this person as I walk past them and don't give them anything, you know. And so I'm sure there were a lot of people who were just walking right past him. But here is Peter engaging. And he looks at the man and said, "Look at me," or "Look at us." And then the man is looking and he's expecting, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to get something from him." But he did not realize what he was getting ready to get. He was getting ready to get something that was better than silver and gold. Verse 6, it says, "Then Peter says, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" In other words, I'm not getting ready to put some money in your hand. "But such as I have, give I thee." In other words, I don't have silver and gold, but I've got something else that I'm going to give you. What does he say? He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In other words, I'm going to give you the power that is invested in me representing my God. I'm going to use my faith to pull you up out of your situation. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you the name of Jesus. Why? Because the name of Jesus will enable you to get up and walk, and you can make you can earn your own silver and gold. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." We're going to have to end right there. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you next time. Be blessed. I love you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers, 1-888-201-5313.